What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 138 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for the 138th time by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, I am freaking exhausted. I had such a hard time sleeping last night, and then today I had like a two-hour conference call like at the middle of the day. I'm dying today, brother.
Now, I feel you. I struggled sleeping last night, and I had a conference call, so we're both on there. But mine was first thing in the morning at 8:30 a.m., not happy about it. It was the dumbest conference call I've ever had in my life. It was literally just telling me how to do my job in the eyes of someone who doesn't understand how to do my job. So Joey, we are both running on fumes, which means if you guys followed us on social media, you would have seen the funny tweets and all the other funny accolades on social media that we would have had out there. So make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. It's at the LVLUP Podcast. And you need to follow Joey on Twitter. He needs followers. That's at Courtside King. And myself, that's John High Fiasco right there. I need followers too. So Joey, we both need followers. We need to keep growing this amazing community. So that's at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome. Those handles are below those horrific mugshots you're currently staring at on stream. And if you're listening to the podcast later on down the road, they're going to be in the show notes for you later. Nation, let's get serious real quick. Are you lonely? Are you looking for a significant other? Perhaps a bestest of friend? Well, Gen G may have an answer for your ongoing perpetual loneliness with their latest partnership. As if solving your loneliness wasn't enough for one episode's worth of topics, just like the options on the dating app, we have more topics for you to choose from. Joey, which topics will our listeners be swiping on this week on episode 138?
Besides the usual roster moves and partnerships, we're going to dive a bit more into the like minds of Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony. They're making some moves both in unison and both apart, so we're going to kind of dive into our thoughts on those different moves. We are talking Rocket League because they are saying goodbye to loot crates. We're talking Call of Duty League because they have added a new team and much more.
I'm a little upset with the whole Rocket League thing, so I'm pretty sure I'm sitting on about 80 loot crates that I have still not opened. Mainly because I just don't want to buy keys. I just don't want to spend the money. But Joey, we have our topics. And we swiped on all those topics. Now we need to swipe on over to our drink of choice part of the show. So Joey, for the 138th time, what beverage is going to be aiding you as we talk about Gen G's amazing new sponsorship?
Well, John, in honor of the newest, highest Apex ranking, I'm drinking the Selfish Predator. It is a double dry hop, double Indian pale ale. Kind of has got like a Pac-Man look to it.
A selfish predator? Is selfish predator the new rank?
No, it's something predator. Apex predator or
it
something.
It needs to be selfish predator because I feel like that's the only way you actually get up there. Joey, I'm going to go ahead and crack this open. Ooh, hopefully the microphone picked up. Joey, I am reverting to my frat days. I am drinking a Natty Light, but not just any Natty Light. It is a Natterday Natty Light, the classiest of frat trash drinks out there. Delicious, borderline nutritious, only 130 calories per can. That is less than your average can of Coca-Cola. There you go.
I don't know if classy and Natty Light go together in the same conversation.
But it's not just Natty Light. It's Natterday by Natty Light. Seriously, in all honesty, I have very bad memories of Natty Light from college. We won't go into that on this show. So when my friend asked me to try this, I was very hesitant. I tried it, and I am here to say that while Natty Light itself is still crap, Natterday is not. Natterday is delicious. It's probably one of my favorite beers out there right now, and that's weird to say. Something by Natty Light is actually good. It's weird. Joey, we have our beverages. We have our topics. I'm trying not to burp on stream because that would be rude. Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go!
I love that you've moved from water for your post-workout to a natty light over there. That's a good time, sir.
Low-calorie natty light, please. 130 calories per can.
Excuse me. Not low-calorie here. We have a big move coming out from the Houston Outlaws. That is Chris DiPaolonio, I believe is how it's pronounced. He takes over as the new president of that organization. He previously worked with their partnerships and marketing department. I think if you're going to move someone up toward the top like a president role, that's a great place to start. Your partnerships are really where the magic happens in terms of fundraising, in terms of where you're pulling in those sponsorships. I think this is a really good move by the Outlaws.
I agree. Partnerships and marketing, that's a great person to bring up into the upper echelon of management. That's a smart move for the Outlaws.
BEA, beautiful. The Overwatch League is not done, though, John. We have another move here. The Stage 4 first place holders, the Washington Justice, have bid farewell to Fozzix. So our hometown team letting go of Fozzix. It's sad to see him go. We actually met him. I think we've met him a few times. But in particular, we recently saw him at a bar in the area, a local pop-up bar that's esports themed. He's a really nice guy. I really like him as a player. I do think he'll find a new team pretty soon.
Dude is super smart when it comes to Overwatch. The way he understands the heroes, their mechanics, and just thinking outside the box. One notable thing that pops out to me is when he was with NRG on their Contenders team, which is a Contenders team at the time for the Shock, he was playing Zenyatta. He's a support main. He was playing Zenyatta and used D.Va's mech bomb to catapult himself up to a higher level to get better vision to heal people using his healing orb. That's something that's out of the box thinking. Like, I don't know how many people would think at that time, this was like 2 years ago, of using that as a method to get better sight, to get the higher ground as Zenyatta, since he doesn't have that many ups. I mean, he's floating. He doesn't have any, legs, essentially. He's just floats. So, it's really cool, his ability to think outside of the box and play those champions or those heroes in a different way. So unfortunately, no longer with the Justice, but we wish him the best. Great guy, a lot of fun to hang out with. And it's just a matter of time before another team picks him up. He's going to be back in the scene soon.
Right. And it won't be for this stage. Stage 4 is almost at its close. We're almost into the playoffs, but I think come next season, we will see a team jump on him, especially with some of these lower end teams. Previously, the Washington Justice, not anymore. But there are a lot of teams down at the bottom that could use a player like Fozzix, and I do see him signing with one of them. It doesn't look like the league will be expanding this year to add more teams, but come Season 3, if for some reason he slips through the cracks, another team will probably grab him by then. Fnatic Rising, the UK champions over there for the Academy teams of the LEC. Fnatic Rising has a few roster updates here. The reason we're mentioning this is Fnatic has one of the better Academy teams out there, so some of these players could be in the LEC sooner than later. We have Bando stepping in as the new top laner, with Shikari choosing to step down. Again, I don't know if I quite see these moves happening for the Fnatic roster, but some of the other LEC teams could use a top lane talent, so keep an eye on Shikari as well as Bando. And then Ronaldo has moved from backup mid laner, right behind Magi Felix. He is now moving to the support role with Prosper moving on. Prosper had a few personal issues come down the line, and he looks like he wants to separate not only from Fnatic, but from League of Legends in the pro scene for a bit at this point. He might be coming later on, but he wants to work on some stuff in his personal life first. So overall, thank you, Shikari and Prosper, for playing well for Fnatic Rising. But keep an eye on both those players as well as these two new players, because they could be in the LEC sooner than later. Partnerships. Fnatic has partnered up with New Era on a limited edition 15-year anniversary cap. That happened, I believe it was this past week. And then tonight, or today, earlier in the day, they just announced a new collaboration for a limited-time hoodie that's going to be labeled Nightflower with Champion. This is going to be their second collaboration with Champion. They did one previously. It kind of looked back on the Worlds 2018 run that Fnatic had to second place, where they lost to Invictus Gaming in the final. That was a nice little commemorative hoodie. Now they're back with Champion for this Nightflower one, as well as the move with New Era. So not necessarily Fnatic. I mean, Fnatic has made a lot of huge moves here where they continue to be the frontline talent as far as these collaborations go between them, Team Liquid, Cloud9. There's a number of orgs that have been really proactive in this area. I think in general, John, what are your thoughts on these collaborations? Not these two in particular, but esports organizations continuing these one-time collaborations before I choke on myself there.
Joey slowly dies in the background.
I was like, eh.
No, they're great. So as nerd culture, if you will, continues to be accepted by the mainstream as hip and cool, because we already knew it was hip and cool years before the rest of the population did, it's smart. And the designers, the clothing lines, the companies here are starting to see that. I mean, we're seeing esports put out some of the best fashioned merchandise, period. I mean, even Cloud9 is starting to do it. I was in their store the other day, and you know, before, like, they had, like, you know the jerseys, the hoodie jerseys, you know, your standard t-shirt with gigantic logo on the front, nothing too crazy. But now they have, like, these really cool streetwear designed clothing. We have yet to see really too many big sponsorship deals in terms of their clothing line. I know they have a deal with Puma, you know, and they have, like, a deal with BMW and everything like that, but nothing to the likes of, like, what Fnatic is doing or Team Liquid is doing. And when you take a look at names like New Era and Champion, first off, Champion has been absolutely killing it in esports. They are, like, a huge sponsor of the NBA 2K League. Most of the merch in the NBA 2K League is now Champion-based. Champion is still continuing to expand and really lead the way for a clothing line, if you will, in esports. Just doing these collaborations with organizations or being, like, the official clothing line of the NBA 2K League in that sense. So it's really cool to see Champion do that. And I'm a big fan of New Era. I love New Era caps. I think a limited anniversary edition for Fnatic, I think that's going to be outstanding. Now, my only issue is because I have a gigantic head, I want the fitted caps, not the snapbacks. Snapbacks don't fit. Come on, people. If your head is over 7.5, it's not fitting on your head unless you're on the last snap. For those of us that are over 7.5 on the fitted scale for your ball caps, let's be real here. Can a brother get a fitted cap that has Fnatic on it, please? That's all I'm asking for. But yeah, I think it's going to be great. And it's great that bigger names like New Era is making their way into esports too. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Wow. So you have a big head, not only in your mind, but also here literally.
Yeah, no, Mike, this noggin is massive. Like, not just because my brain is gigantic and smarts and all that fun stuff, but yeah, no, it's literally a massive dome piece. It's fine. I'll put it out there. I wear a 7.75, so that is a massive head. I think the largest person on the Washington Nationals hat size is Strasburg at 7.625. So that's a good 2 hat sizes below me, and it's not even close. So wow. Yeah, it's a massive dome.
And the Nats have some big headed players too. I mean, they've had
some
hard
headed players.
Yeah, no, I think this is a great move. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of Champion merchandise personally. I feel like the quality is sometimes lacking. I feel like they've definitely improved with their esports lines. Again, not the biggest fan of the Champion logo, especially how big they put it on certain objects. You mentioned the NBA 2K League. They had backpacks from Champion that had a giant Champion C on it. A little too big for me, a little too flashy. Some of the sweatshirts as well, the logo's just a bit too big. I get it. Logo branding is important, especially for apparel. When it comes down to it, though, the biggest thing for me is the quality. The logo size is one thing, but the quality has definitely started to improve since they, what were they, like a Target brand or something? They were like Target exclusive?
Yeah, they were Target exclusive for a long time, but like, let's turn back the time machine even more. Champion at one point in time, I believe, was the official sponsor or jersey maker of the NFL. I need to double check that, but I believe there is at one point, I believe it was back in the early 90s, Champion was massive and then just kind of fell off. Like right up there was Starter. I'm not even sure if Starter is still around or not, but like those were some big names in sportswear back in the 90s. It just kind of disappeared. And this is the funny thing. I was in the mall the other day, and this lady older than I am walks in there and goes, "Oh, Lordy, look at all these Champion products again. I can't believe Champion's making a comeback. Their products were so not good." And now, like, you go through the mall and, you know, every middle schooler and high school out there is rocking Champion gear. And it's you know, it's socks, it's joggers, it's shirts, it's hoodies. It's fanny packs that are being worn as shoulder packs now. It's Champions all over the place. Like they're making a massive comeback, and really it's coming out of nowhere. But really you can trace it back to their exclusive deal with Target pretty much coming to an end and them being free to do what they want.
Now I'm starting to – was it Target or were they with Walmart?
No, they were with Target. They were definitely
and
with Target.
Starter was Walmart?
Starter was Walmart, yeah.
Okay. That's what it was. Yeah, I mean, overall, it's cool. I like the fact Fnatic is also taking a different direction with this. Most esports orgs take that esporty, gamey approach. I like that they're trying something different, and they're not the first organization to do that. Like I said, Liquid is another one that's really done different, taken different approaches to their jerseys and clothing apparel lines. But going with the flower look here with Nightflower, it's kind of like a purpley looking lilac color flower. I think that's something different, especially for female audiences as well. Males can wear flowers, don't get me wrong, but I think it also attracts more females into the industry, and Fnatic being one of those organizations that really has quite a few female viewers out there. So I really like this move.
Thank you for saying guys can wear flowers too, because the shirt I'm rocking tomorrow at the concert has flowers on it. No shame.
Wow. Well, maybe you can jump on Bumble to meet a new friend at that concert.
What a great segue. Joey, I dog you for your puns all the time, but that was absolutely fantastic. I am very proud of you for that one.
Well, thank you, sir. Genji is actually the one making the move here. Genji, however you want to pronounce it. They have welcomed Bumble as a new partner. It's going to be a 3-year partnership that will see a calendar full of programming, events, and merchandise collaborations. It'll be focused around empowering women and other emerging segments in the gaming community. And you can have your imagination run wild on that. There's tons of different segments that you can break the community up into. They are looking to really hit those new up-and-coming segments or that female population in general. I think this is a great move. A lot of people look at Bumble as a dating app. That is one thing that it can be used for. A lot of people, or at least Bumble's marketing, is aimed toward people also trying to find friends as well, like-minded people. Maybe John is a support in League of Legends and he can't find an ADC. So he could use Reddit, he could use all these other platforms, but he could also say, hey, let me hop on Bumble and see if anyone else out there plays League of Legends. Let me get to know them in real life if he wants to. Again, that might not be the approach John makes, but it is an approach that Bumble does offer now as well.
The only funny thing about that is I would never, ever, ever talk about League of Legends on any dating app because it just reeks of toxicity. And I would never want to try to find an ADC on Bumble because let's be real here. They're probably so toxic. That's the reason why they need a dating app. No, I'm joking. But no, I mean, it's an interesting partnership. I mean, a dating app that's teaming up with a major esports organization that's based out of South Korea. Now you have... I mean, I see the empowerment from it. Like I understand that part. I understand Bumble. You know, for people who may not know what Bumble is, the dating app, when there's a match, it requires the female to go first. Like, so when you match up, if you're a guy and you match up with this girl, she has to initiate the conversation. I'm pretty sure everyone is aware of all the horror stories that have come from, like, Tinder and some of the other apps out there of guys out there being less than stellar. So we'll just leave it there. So it's up to the women to initiate the conversation, which, you know, I've heard great reviews from it. I have a lot of friends that use Bumble and, you know, they're big fans of it. So bringing that into esports, into really a segment of the population that is still trying Joey, you said it was going to be a struggle today. You cursed me. Diversify.
You got it right. Diversify.
I need another drink. Hold on a second. Diversify their segment, their population in the professional scene. This could work. This could be a big thing. So I'm kind of curious to see how this plays out. Is it going to make me download Bumble? I just paused the download, so no. I'm going to say no, it's not going to make me download Bumble. But yes, thank you, chat. Words hard. Words are very hard. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I'm kind of curious to see how this plays out. And I'm really kind of curious on the empowerment of females in esports with this partnership. I'm really kind of curious to see how this plays out. You know, maybe not from a dating scene, but looking for that friendship thing. Like, who knows, maybe Bumble will become the next place you go to if you are looking for a duo partner in League of Legends or that fifth or sixth member in Overwatch that you need to complete your six stack or whatever game you're looking for another player on. I mean, you already do it on Reddit. You already do it on message boards. You know, why not Bumble? And it's mobile. It's on your phone. You know, it's easy. So who knows? It may grow into a massive way to connect gamers with each other locally. So that's kind of cool, but I'm curious to see where it goes from here.
Chat's really enjoying this one, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I was like, girl, are you my support? Because I'm about to get ganked. Nice. That is a, you know what? That is a solid pickup line. Girl, are you my support? Because I'm about to be ganked. I like that. That's solid.
Oh, my gosh. So just to reiterate, this is not all the Bumble apps. I think it's going to be mainly focused on Bumble BFF, mm-hmm. which is meant for friendship making more than anything. Only women can match to other women within that particular app. So it's a bit more female friendly because a lot of people come out and say the gaming community in general is not always kind to females. I mean, John and I have seen that firsthand as well in certain games, in random lobbies in Overwatch or League of Legends. It just happens, and it's very unfortunate that it does, but this is one way to hopefully empower those female audiences, as well as continue to help female gamers find each other so that they have a bit more support in the community as guys continue to grow up on the interwebs. This also looks like it will touch Bumble Biz and Bumble Date, but not to the degree it will touch Bumble BFF. I like the interwebs there.
I just want you to say Bumble and whatever version of Bumble again. It just for some reason... It made
Bumble
me smile.
Biz.
Bumble League, Bumble Overwatch, Bumble
it's
Smite.
It's a growing franchise.
Bumble Warcraft, Bumble WoW. There we go. You know, you need a new guildie, match up on Bumble WoW. You know, the possibilities are endless.
You never know. We might have a Bumble OTN app here in the future.
Oh, no, let's not. No.
Good times. Another throwback here in the news, John. Halo. They'll be giving players the ability to move Legacy 4 game types from Halo 3, Halo 4, and Halo Reach via Halo Waypoint starting this week. I am freaking hyped about this. This is one thing that I've always missed in Halo games, and I've really given up. I haven't played Halo 5 in so long, but I'm ready for Infinite next year. 2020 in the holiday season, it's a very long time away. But the idea that they're starting on stuff like this now, I think, is brilliant. Especially with Halo, I believe it's called the Master Chief Collection, their whole collection of Halo games coming to PC later this fall as well. I think this is a really good move to start now. Do you remember some of the old game types? Like Griffball was one of them.
Griffball
was
great.
The old zombies. I know there was like Escape the House type of games that I played, or like, I just feel like there's so many different customizable options there. And I think Halo has some of the best customizable options in any type of games. Like Call of Duty had some fun ones here and there. Cops and Robbers was fun in that. But Halo really took it to a whole nother level, especially with the customization that Forge presented. I think moving on to this now, right before Master Chief Collection hits PC, right when people are starting to get nostalgic about Ninja going to Mixer and about all these other moves that are somewhat Halo-centric based on rumors, this is a very, very strong move for me. Do you have a favorite Halo game type?
You're talking to the guy that doesn't play on Xbox if I have a favorite Halo?
Okay, you're telling me you've never played Halo.
No, I have. I mean, Griffball was a favorite of mine. I mean, that was like my go-to. Someone had a mod. They made a level, and it was like vehicles only.
Those are fun too.
Other weapons, but like they had like some... whack obstacle course, and it was absolutely absurd. It was fun, not fun enough for me to buy an Xbox, but fun enough that I would go over to my friend's house and play. So hey.
Or on your PC come later this fall.
Yeah, I mean, I may check it out on PC since they finally seen the light and they're going to bring it to the PC where it can finally achieve its superior status, because you're not going to get that on Xbox, not at all. PC, I'm probably gonna, Joey, I'm gonna download it, okay? I'm gonna download it on my PC. It's gonna happen.
I've been saying this a lot lately, but I'm going to go on a limb and say that Halo is a top 3 esport come 2021. I'm gonna say it right now. I think it will be. I think it'll be in the top 3. I think by that time, Fortnite starts to level itself back out. The Overwatch League will be doing well, but I think Halo can surpass it even. Just as an esport, Halo 3 was one of the best ones out there to watch, and I think it really stunted its growth by being console only. Now that we're seeing it move to PC, and now that we're seeing Infinite release on PC for the first time for a Halo game, to my knowledge, I think it is going to have so, so much potential. The balance of maps in Halo, the customization of guns, the MLG aspects that were really strong back in its heyday, I think you bring all that together, you have a really top-tier esport here now that it's on PC. So we will be playing. And we will play some of my old maps, from racing maps to paintball maps to griffball maps. It's going to happen. Probably OTN community game nights as well, actually. There's tons of potential there. Speaking of potential, the initiative. They continue to make the initiative by hiring really strong developers. Ryan Duffin has joined as a gameplay animation director, formerly at BioWare, DICE, and EA. I'm sure Ryan's a really nice guy, but all three of those companies have taken a lot of heat as of late. And then Sean Slaybeck will also be joining the fray as a lead systems designer. He was previously at Respawn, Infinity Ward, and Treyarch. So a very strong Call of Duty background from him. I love it. I mean, they continue to hire the best in the business. The initiative, like you said, John, 100 times now, it really comes down to, can they deliver? They have the best talent in all of the gaming industry. If you look at the collaboration here at the initiative, the number of employees with the talented resumes they have to deliver something great. I think they're really setting themselves up for that, a really hard failure. I think they're going to deliver what we see as one of our first quadruple A titles ever made. At the same point, it does make me nervous that they keep acquiring more and more talent because the bar just keeps getting raised more and more. And Xbox may look to potentially move first-party games on rival platforms. Really curious what your thoughts are on this, John. So we see Xbox, they have a console. They've been console exclusive for years. Now they're giving so much more love to the PC. They're saying, hey, we still love you, Xbox, but everything you get, PC gets as well, practically at this point. There's really no Xbox exclusive games anymore. Most of them are available to PC as well. So when you're taking that approach from Microsoft, you're saying, hey, you can play on your Xbox, you can play on your PC, eventually you'll be able to play on your phone as well come Project xCloud's release. What are your thoughts on them moving more games to Nintendo Switch or possibly PlayStation as well?
Those last two would probably be a long shot, only because I don't see Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo all coming together. I think Nintendo out of the two would probably work with Microsoft when it comes to sharing games across platforms. I don't think Sony is at that point yet. They haven't really done enough to show that they are. Sony is still very arrogant in a lot of things that they do in the way they...
But now, keep in mind, this is not Sony putting games on Xbox or on Microsoft platforms.
Well, I know.
This is purely Microsoft shipping stuff out.
I understand that. And I think the issue becomes that means Sony would have to give Microsoft the specs of their console so the games can be formatted to their console. That is a huge amount of information that they'd be willing to just give up so Microsoft could make these games coded properly for the PlayStation. That's my biggest thing why I don't think Sony's going to do it. And really vice versa too. There's not many games produced by Sony. I can't really think of any. And I know one of the biggest ones Xbox players, especially Xbox players that like sports games, really wish they had was MLB The Show. That is a Sony developed title that it will never be on Xbox. I think, because Microsoft owns Xbox and pretty much has a solid grip on the PC market, having it cross over there, it's almost like a no-brainer. It's a great way to reach the PC gaming community that may or may not have an Xbox console. And mobile, I mean, why not? I mean, if you can code the game and compress it enough that it can runs on mobile, why not? Life is Strange is a mobile game now, and it looks absolutely fantastic on a mobile device. So it's definitely possible, and I think Microsoft can do it. Like I said, I just don't see Sony allowing Microsoft to get to that point with PlayStation.
I think they would be dumb not to be honest. I think the way Microsoft's moving, they're going to have the best third-party console out there. They're always going to. They're going to up-jump those specs. But when you come down to games in particular, if I'm Sony and I have a chance of getting Microsoft exclusive games, I say hell yes if I'm only giving away console specs to do it. Most people are going to choose Sony anyway when it comes to consoles now that everything's available on PC. So Microsoft is really trying to sell exclusivity rights. And really, if they go through with this, I don't see how Sony would lose in a sense. Like, it really doesn't matter if Xbox has the best console for third-party games if you still have a ton of first-party games available from Sony. Like your Uncharted's, like your, I can't even name them all. Spider-Man was another big one they had recently. Like, they have so many over there. Death Stranding, there is rumors that might be on PC as well now. But different stuff like that, I think, is very big for Sony. Microsoft, if they're willing to move games over there, I think Sony has to accept that deal. Now, at the same point, I don't know if I ever see Microsoft moving a Halo over there, a Gears of War over there, a Ori over there. Maybe Ori on Nintendo Switch, but I don't think you move your big, big, really AAA games over to different studios like that. I mean, it sounds like they might have some stuff from the Obsidian, like the Outer Worlds, if they do another sequel to that. That might be on Switch and might be on PlayStation as well. But I don't know if I ever see a Halo or Gears of War moving that far over.
I think the biggest wild card here is going to be what the Initiative actually puts out. I feel like if the Initiative, with all the hype surrounding it, with all the developers and all the talent that has been acquired, you know, by Microsoft for this studio, if they start pumping out titles that is forcing Sony into a corner, then yes, I do see Microsoft eventually being able to get their games on a PlayStation console. But I think at first, I think with the next generation coming up, I don't think that's going to happen yet. Maybe in the generation after, if the Initiative really comes out and, you know, starts kicking butt left and right, then yeah, I mean, but you're going to have to put Sony in a corner. You're going to have to force Sony to realize, hey, this is what we have to do. And let's be real here. I'm going to bring it up. It's kind of a meme, but it just goes to show you what you're dealing with. Sony put out a press release stating they invented cross-platform gaming. It's that stupid. That's what you're dealing with when you're Microsoft. That's what you have to get past. You have to force Sony to do something. And Sony is slow when it comes to doing that kind of stuff. I mean, just take a look at their first major hack that shut down the PlayStation Network for over a month. For over a month, you couldn't play games online. You know, it was massive. It took them forever to get that figured out. That's what you're dealing with if you're trying to get your games on PlayStation. You have to force Sony to say yes. You do that by backing them in the corner. And if the Initiative can do that with all the talent they've acquired, then do it. Absolutely do it, because it's only going to it's going to help them. It's going to hurt Sony in the long run. You know, that's what you need to do if you want to beat Sony and really become the king of the console.
The king of the console. These next two go together. So Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft have already come together in a few aspects. They've decided they will be using Microsoft's Azure Cloud for the cloud gaming generation coming up for these next consoles. In addition to that, they've also agreed that all three of them will ask for loot box odd disclosures from game developers. It might be the end of loot boxes, John. Now with a lot of PC platforms jumping in, with Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, if everyone plus all these governments around the world are jumping at loot box odds, I think it slowly becomes even more of a decline for loot boxes. Really, a number of games have limited them. Gears of War 4, for example, had loot boxes in its last game. They will not in Gears 5. This jumps into our next story. Rocket League is actually pulling their loot crates as well. We mentioned it at the top of the show. Those are going to be moved, and it'll be direct purchases instead. And it's like I've been saying all along, John. These games make a bunch of money on loot crates. Don't get me wrong. But you look at a game like Riot Games with League of Legends. They make over $1 billion a year on people simply buying exactly what they want. Like, yeah, some people buy these orb things they implemented this year. Who really cares? Because the majority of your income in that game are coming from people buying emotes, coming from the people buying Team Tactics player pieces, coming from the people buying icons, skins, all of this other stuff. It's literally direct purchases that jump up to $1 billion. Like, when it comes down to stuff like that, Fortnite even as well with the Battle Pass, people see exactly what they're getting in that Battle Pass, and they're still buying in at $20 or $10 or whatever it costs nowadays. I mean, for me, that's the big key. The fact that everyone's buying battle passes, everyone's buying direct purchases. Why did games still put loot boxes in? I think this decline continues on. Rocket League now getting rid of them. I would not really be surprised if Overwatch eventually gets rid of them as well.
And just a quick side note, Joey, do you know that now League of Legends will tell you how much money you have spent on their game?
Oh, I do not want to know that, and I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so you can actually log in to the League of Legends website and find out how much money you have spent. Now, one of our OTN members, Chipmunk, was the one that told me about this, and I really wish he didn't. And he told me how much So Chipmunk was the one that introduced the game to me in beta. And so that tells you how long I've been playing that game. And he was well over $1,500 into League of Legends.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm sitting here telling myself, you know what? I don't want to know how much money I put into this. I really don't want to know. And it festered for about an hour. And then I gave him and I looked and
Don't tell us.
That is an expensive free game. We'll just leave it at that.
That's how they get you, though. If it's a free game, you're going to be so much more willing to spend money. And if you know exactly what you're getting, if there's a really cool Braum skin that comes out, for example, and I like it a lot, I'm more willing to buy that skin. Ask me how much I've spent on loot boxes in Overwatch. I have it on Xbox and I have it on PC. I have spent $10 on loot boxes. $10.
That's it.
League of Legends. I don't know how much I spent in League of Legends, but I would estimate probably around $250 for the 4 or 5 years that I've played.
That's it.
I don't spend that much, and I really wait for the gift shops. Like, when the gift shops pop up, it says, hey, you want this sweet-looking Gnar skin for 70% off? I'm like, yes, Riot Games, I would love that Gnar skin. Like, for me, that's where I wait. I wait for the sales. I'm a little bit more frugal when it comes to game spending. I usually pay the money up front for the $60 game. That's where they really get me. But as far as free games, though, I'm much more willing to spend on a skin in League of Legends than I am to throw a bunch of money at Overwatch loot boxes, because I'm most likely going to open them to get sprays that I can fit, what, 4 on my little ring thing, and I have about 1 billion that have come from loot boxes. So I don't like the loot box model. I like to know exactly what I'm buying, and I think this is a really good move by Rocket League. I would love to see more games that offer loot boxes go this way. Hint, hint, Blizzard, Overwatch, that would be really great, especially if this Overwatch 2 thing comes to fruition. Let's get rid of the loot boxes, friends. Let's even make it free to play. Why not? Good times. Speaking of Activision, who owns Blizzard and Overwatch, the Call of Duty League, also owned by Activision, has secured an 8th team from the Overwatch League team owners group. So this is the initial group of people that bought into the Overwatch League. They have now secured another owner for one of the new Call of Duty teams for the Call of Duty League. You and I have a lot of questions containing or surrounding the Call of Duty League in general. We think it's interesting, but overall, the fact that Call of Duty changes title practically every year, what does that mean for the esports scene? It's been very inconsistent to watch it grow because you have rosters completely changed when a new game comes out because the mechanics feel completely different depending on the developer. I'm curious to see how this Call of Duty League goes if they start to really make titles last more or have more longevity between them so that fans can build relationships with certain players, or if they do continue on this every year cycle that they currently go with. With that being said, we do not know the 8th team yet, but we do know the other 7 cities. That is Atlanta, Dallas, Los Angeles, Minnesota, New York, Paris, and Toronto. Again, some of these cities, like Los Angeles, for example, do have multiple teams in the Overwatch League. So without even knowing it, they could have told us where all 8 teams reside. At the same point, they might not have announced that final city yet. I would love for it to be Washington, D.C. I think it would be great to see the Washington Justice buy into Call of Duty League. At the same point, I'm very curious what this last city will be.
Yeah, and if it is D.C., you know, let's say, hypothetically speaking, it's Mark Ein who owns the Washington Justice. And let's say that it's under the Washington Justice name. How awesome would it be to have a Call of Duty team named the Washington Justice? You know, the logo itself is a shield. It's already very militaristic. The colors are red, white, and blue. I mean, it's a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit. But yeah, there are a lot of question marks surrounding this league. Mainly, like what you said, Joey, the fact that the new title feels like comes out every year, and it's a vastly different game every single time it comes out. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I kind of want Washington, D.C. to be announced as the 8th team, but at the same time, just because I'm so hesitant on it, I kind of don't.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays out as well. And I want to say they haven't released the final count, but I think it's going to be 10 teams or 12 teams. So even if they don't buy in just yet, they will still have a chance, D.C. or any of those other Overwatch League organizations out there. With that being said, this is kind of the window for Overwatch League owners to kind of have that priority. If they want to jump in or try to start that conversation, now is the time to do it. Since they did buy into the previous league, Overwatch or Activision is giving them some priority in that sense. And like I said, now would be the time. So make those moves if you really want those spots. What else we got on here? Oh, we talked about this last week and you and I predicted it. We kind of held it out for a bit and then mentioned it at the end when chat brought it up. But per our conversation, really a no surprise to John and I, the deal for Kronk Esports and Entertainment to acquire Echo Fox's LCS slot fell through on Friday. This is very much in light of the suit that came out. The Kronkies withdrew after Sentinel CEO Rob Moore sued them on August 1st. And this was where he alleged that they kind of violated the joint venture agreement. They had an agreement in place between Sentinels and Kronk Esports and Entertainment. Kronk went behind their back, or at least did not do it the way the their agreement, had it pursued out. They went and bought Equifax. The other organization, Sentinels, was not happy about the way they went about it. So maybe they were trying to hold them out completely. Maybe there were some other disagreements there. Either way, it was not contractually done correctly. Kroenke could have fought it, but the fact they backed out so quickly makes me at least think that they were probably doing things the way they shouldn't be, just because we had under a week turnaround here. Part of that could be pressure from Riot Games, but I think a lot of it is because it didn't quite go the way it legally should have.
And let's be real here. If you are from Denver, Colorado, and you know Kroenke Sports and Entertainment because you're an Avalanche fan or you're a Nuggets fan, or if you somehow have been sucked into the black hole that is the KSE stratosphere in Colorado, this organization is not known for playing by the rules. They are very shifty. I'll leave it at that. When it comes to a lot of their business dealings, so the fact that this fell through and sounds like, they pulled some shady stuff behind Sentinel's back, it doesn't surprise me. Not one bit. And Joey, you hit the nail on the head. The fact that they withdrew their acquisition of Equifax so quickly once the lawsuit hit is a major signal that KSE was about to be caught red-handed doing something they did not want to be exposed for doing.
Could not agree more on that one. John, Heroes of the Storm is still alive.
Wait.
It is still kicking.
Who? It. Wait. Here's the storm. That's made by don't tell me. It's a Riot game, right? It's Riot's new close. Fighter game.
People did riot around the game. That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they pretty much killed this thing off. You know,
they killed the esports scene. They've really dismantled the developer team. There are certain developers there. We've seen even more this week leave for Riot Games, but they are still making new heroes in particular, and this one has the community kind of up in arms. So half of the community is happy that new heroes are being created. I completely get that. The other half of the community is like, why are you creating completely new heroes linked to the Nexus, really the Heroes of the Storm atmosphere, the Summoner's Rift of Heroes of the Storm, I guess you could say. But overall, why are they creating new characters when they don't have someone like an Anduin in the game already? Why are they bringing out this new lore? Personally, as a Heroes of the Storm player, I really liked Orphea, I believe was her name, the first character that kind of came out of the Heroes of the Storm lore of itself, I guess. Not really the love story of Blizzard games, but something completely new from the Nexus. I like the idea of players from the Nexus. At the same point, you're a dying game. There is not the player base you once had. You don't have the support of Activision Blizzard like you used to have, and now you're creating these new characters. I feel like now is not the time to alienate fans. Now is the time to really bring everyone together. Yeah, there's players like me who will be happy with it, but moreover, there's going to be players that would rather see classic World of Warcraft players in there, would rather see Overwatch players in there, would rather see the Blizzard love story that Heroes of the Storm was meant to be, and see characters from that that have not been introduced into the game. So I really like the idea of this new character. I think Kira is awesome. I haven't played her yet, but she sounds awesome. At the same point, if I'm the developer here, unless they're trying to kill this game off more, I think this is the wrong direction to go.
I feel like they should have paired this announcement up with an update on the new Diablo mobile game. I feel like that would really rile fans up the wrong way to start even bigger riots. That would be a great way to kill Heroes of the Storm almost overnight. Team it up with a mobile Diablo game update. That would be outstanding.
In addition to this, Storm League is the new league. So I believe it was like Heroes League before. Now they've gotten rid of that. A few things that I think are really cool in here. Ranked points will now be directly linked to the player's MMR. This is something we see kind of Overwatch doing. Personally, not the biggest fan of this one overall. Some people like the Overwatch system where it's much more cleaner than a League of Legends where you have a hidden MMR. I personally am not the biggest fan of that one. Some things I am a huge fan of that League of Legends players really want. Placement matches have been reduced from 10 to 3. This has been something that League of Legends faithful players have been arguing for so long. In addition to that, promotion and demotion games have been removed, John. There is no more, let me sit at Bronze 1 and have to win 3 of my 5 placement matches to move up to Silver 4. There's no more sitting at Silver 1 trying to get into Gold, or even Gold 4 to Gold 3. That is all gone. You have a seamless transition now. If you get promoted, just like Overwatch, you're going to move straight into that new division. No placement matches needed. I think this is something that'll be really good in MOBAs. I love the fact Heroes of the Storm is doing it, and I think it's a really, really positive move for that community, but I think it's a little too late, to be completely honest.
It's very late. I mean, it's essentially a dead game. It is a dead game. It's on life support, and it's on life support because its creator put it on life support, and now you're telling the people that there's a hope, there's a chance that Heroes of the Storm might be revived into this amazing game. And it's not, because Activision doesn't care. Blizzard, they just don't care about Heroes of the Storm anymore. The MOBA market is overly saturated, just like the Battle Royale market and soon to be the auto chess market or whatever we're going to call it. It's a little too late. This game is going to die. It's just a matter of time. Blizzard, you are now just wasting your time and you're pissing a lot of people off doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but with all these auto brawler or auto chess games coming out, maybe it's just me, but if anyone were to really take this market by storm, I think it's something like Heroes of the Storm. Could you imagine Blizzard making a move into auto chess? Even if it's just Warcraft characters, there is so much potential there for auto chess pieces, like endless potential. You can pull skills from Heroes of the Storm. You can pull skills from different things they did in World of Warcraft. And hey, you could even throw Overwatch in there. You could really say, hey, I'm done with the MOBA market. Heroes of the Storm is dying off anyway. Why not just jump it into auto chess? If you don't take the whole game, I mean, you could delete Heroes of the Storm and make it auto chess. You could also just do another segment of auto chess. To me, this makes Activision stocks just rise. I think the player base rallies behind it. I mean, who are you competing with? You're competing with Dota and League of Legends. TFT is great. It has a good streamer population. The game itself could use a lot of improvements, in my opinion. I think Dota Underlords is very strong as well. Auto Chess Origins is out there too, now on Epic and mobile. I mean, to me, they're all good. They all have positives to themselves, but no one really has the deepness of lore that Blizzard can bring to the table. League of Legends has really just started on their lore stuff about 2 years ago, and they're continuing to rebuild it and really revamp it, but no one's playing League for the lore. 99% of the people are playing because of the cool skins or because of the characters. You are not even playing for lore. Don't even give me that. What's Warwick's new lore?
Thank you.
That's all I needed.
I was just about to answer. There was a lag. Don't blame me for Discord being all laggy. Wow.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, no one has really started playing League of Legends because it didn't have that great of lore to begin with. It's been more that they've completely readapted it. They've been adding new places. Like, Leona's from Mount Tudor or something nowadays. I don't remember the name of it. And I love me some Leona, but that is not where she started in that game as far as lore went. So overall, I think Blizzard just has such a rich part of lore. Dota, I don't know anything about Dota lore. There could be some more Dota lore out there. I mean, what is it? What am I freezing? I love that I freeze on your screen, but you don't freeze at all on mine.
There it is.
Is it back?
Yeah.
Why does this do this? Why can I hear you the whole time? That is so odd to me. This is our new fun problem, guys, my internet connection. I can see John moving with no lag at all the whole time, and I'm moving fine on my screen the whole time, but for some reason, it does not upload to John's connection over there. So I don't know what's up with it. We'll hopefully figure it out one day, but hey, not today. Today is not that day. Overall, though, I think this is a good move. I would love to see a Blizzard Auto Chess, Activision, if you're listening. I know we've had a few of you listen in the past. Go ahead and give this a listen. Give this a thought. I really want to see a Blizzard Auto Chess, Auto Brawler game out there.
I'm going to tell you why I don't have faith. It took how many years for an original IP to come out of Blizzard in the form of Overwatch? Well over a decade. I agree with you. I think if there's a company that could do it, it's going to be Blizzard. That being said, I don't have hope.
Chat wants to see a Pokemon auto chess. I think that would be freaking sick too.
I would love a Pokemon auto chess. That would be great.
Just let's restrict it to the top, like, 150, first 200,
150.
I mean, once you go to, like, 700, I don't know what the heck's going on anymore.
Wherever that weird part where Togepi comes in, like, Togepi can be the last one. Because when Togepi came in, I'm just like, okay, that's a little strange. And then that's where Pokemon lost me. So everything up to Togepi, which I think was, like, 153. So we'll cap it at 153. Joey, let's get on this. We'll call it, like, OTN Pokemon.
Wait, really?
On the chest. Yeah,
I thought Togepi came with the 250.
Oh, boy! Like,
chat, can you check that?
Yeah, can you fact check that real quick? I think he was, but like in the anime itself, Togepi was I believe the first non-standard 151 or 152 first generation.
You might
Pokemon.
Be right. I feel like he was after the 150, but I thought he was farther along.
I think numerically he is, but in the anime where you know a lot of us got our first introduction to Pokemon, he was the is it a she? I'm not sure. Togepi,
gender neutral.
Gender neutral. Thank you. Togepi was the first second gen, if you will, Pokemon to be introduced to the world of Pokemon, I believe.
We do have an answer from chat. 175.
Gen 2.
So
yeah.
Togepi did fall in Gen 2, but a little farther along than the original couple.
Numerically, yes.
And I believe it was who? Misty got him in the anime?
Misty, yes, it was Misty. Very good, Joey. Hey, I'm impressed with you.
It's been a while, but I watched quite a few of those episodes. Misty, I will not pokey rap on this one, though.
Misty was a trainer at what gym, though?
That would be the Cerulean City Gym, the water trainer.
Oh.
She had a Staryu, a Starmie, and a Horsea, I believe.
I believe it was a Seahaw?
I think it's Horsea, isn't it?
Is it Horsea?
The little seahorse is Horsea?
But I thought it was the
man. We need a
evolved
study
version.
No. It was not. That's a shoot. It was not evolved yet. No.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we stumped the chat because they don't remember any of the cities. Apparently. Moving on, Joey. Enough about Pokemon.
Destiny. The destiny of Pokemon. That was Ash's destiny, actually, to catch them all. But moving over to Destiny by Bungie, they have added a cross-save feature into the game. It's set to arrive on August 21st. John, I haven't played Destiny since, I don't remember what level I got up to, like 305 light level or something, I think before the first expansion or right after the first expansion. Then I got it free on PC from Activision's little deal at maybe E3 last year. Yeah, I think it was E3. They gave it away free to PC players because they moved on to the Activision launcher. Since then, I have not played Destiny. I haven't played it at all. With cross-save back and now the access to the PC, do you think I will come back? Because I'm not quite sure that I will.
So I told myself I would not buy Destiny 2. I bought Destiny 2, and what I thought would happen happened. I played it for a month, and then I uninstalled it. I will not go into the reasons why I do not like Destiny and why I feel like they're just teasing everyone with false promises over two titles. But I am a part of the angry mob at Destiny and Destiny 2 and anything Destiny does. I want to like Destiny. I really do. But I can't. So I don't see this as a way of them trying to save this title. I feel like they've already alienated a very large chunk of their gaming population. I don't see this saving them, adding cross-save as a mechanism.
Now, I think really, if anything, this is just going to help friends who are still playing connect with each other. If you're on PlayStation, you're on Xbox, you're on PC, now there's a bit more connectivity there. Like, maybe you started on PlayStation, you got to a really high level, and then you got it on PC, but you're like, do I really want to grind 300,000 more light levels out of myself? Probably not. So now this kind of gives you the ability to do that, to make it a lot easier to move those saves over. Or maybe your team needs a Titan for the arena, or I forgot the name of it. It's been a while since I played Destiny. The Crucible. Maybe you just need that Titan in your party and you were not able to move your Titan from PlayStation or Xbox. Now it should be a lot easier to do so. So a good little quality of life change over there at Bungie. Weekly eSport leagues upcoming, actually happening as of tonight. The Rainbow Six Raleigh Major, we went over those groups last week. The group stage is going to run 8-12 to 8-14. It's going to be four groups of four. We went over those last week, so you can check those out on the website. 500K on the line. Should be exciting, John. Rainbow Six has been really an up-and-coming eSport for a while now. The revenue-sharing models they've introduced are really strong, and it's continuing to buy bigger organizations, or bigger organizations are buying into the league itself. So I'm excited to keep an eye on this one down in Raleigh.
Just real quick, chat, if you are looking for members to group up with for the Crucible, go to Bumble. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. Bumble is now the place you go to if you're looking for a group and not the OTN chat room during the Level Up podcast. Thank you. Thank you, chat. Thank you. Outstanding.
Bumble, OTN. Gamescom is kicking off the evening of Monday, August 19th. with their pre-show festivities. The much-awaited Horde debut for Gears of War 5 will be shown on Inside Xbox at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by the campaign story trailer reveal at 2 p.m. Eastern Time during the opening night live festivities. A lot of exciting stuff happens at Gamescom, John. I feel like it's almost E3 light at this point. If you don't see a big reveal at E3, that game is most likely getting a big reveal or possibly a really an opportunity to play that game for a lot of the people there live, as well as to see it on streams. That is happening at Gamescom. I want to say this happens in Cologne, Germany. Does that sound right?
I believe so. I will Google Cologne, Germany for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
So big stuff happening over there. Obviously, Gears of War 5 being one of those bigger games out there for PC and Xbox players. I know some of you are Gears haters, but it is one of the most popular titles coming out, at least in this upcoming month in September, as well as many others. I believe Borderlands 3 is set for a September release, if I remember correctly, as well. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of information on that at Gamescom as well. And SmashCon, because we're running out of time, we can't go over every single player in that, but a lot of really exciting matches. Check out SmashCon for that. That actually happens right around the corner from us, John, over at Dulles Expo Center. I was out of town this weekend, so unfortunately we are not able to go and do some OTN coverage over there. We're really hoping to make it out this year, but unfortunately the way the calendar fell, John and I were not able to. But hopefully we'll be able to make it out there next year. But if you are a fighting game community person, SmashCon is one of the biggest events of the year, especially being following Evo this year, Evo being one of the biggest ones out there. If you're a Smash player, SmashCon is the capital of fighting games for that Smash community. And with so many titles out there, from Melee to Brawl to now Smash Ultimate, there's just so many really strong FGC fighters out there playing in this community and continuing to prove themselves. And we actually knew a lot of people competing as well this year, John.
Yeah, a lot of people from the local scene were competing. A lot of people from the Game Gym in Potomac, Maryland were competing. Josh and his crew up there doing an amazing job helping coach kids to get better in Smash and for these competitions. A lot of them did compete. I know the Game Gym themselves held a mini competition, if you will, at their booth at SmashCon too. So super exciting to see the Smash community come out at SmashCon. Major turnout. Even Jacob Wolf from ESPN came down to cover it, which was really cool. I wish we had more time to actually go out to some of these events. We really want to. Hopefully in the future we can definitely make it out there. I'd love to go cover SmashCon and just experience the amazingness that is that community coming together at one of the best events in the world.
Right, and I'd love to see you take your Jigglypuff out on the big stage as well. You know,
first off, you are the Jigglypuff main. I have no problem admitting that I play Yoshi, and you can dog me all you want. Yoshi is legit, and go away, you Jigglypuff main.
With that, let's head over to the Overwatch League. We have Stage 4, just a week, I believe, left in the game here. What are our Stage 4 standings looking like?
We'll go from bottom to top. We're only going to talk about the top 8 here real quick. We have the Hunters at 3-2 in 8th place. 7th place, Joey's London Spitfire, 4-2. We will not even talk about how the Seoul Dynasty are doing because I believe they are currently sitting at 11th place. But again, top 8 only, please. The LA Valiant, 3-1 so far in Stage 4 at 6th place. 5th place, the Vancouver Titans, not looking like Titans this go-around. 4th place are the Charge, 5-1. Atlanta sitting in 3rd place, 3-0. And again, these are just the stage rankings. These are not their overall records, because if we are talking overall, these are very, very, very different. 2nd place, the San Francisco Shock, 4-0. And Joey, ever since the roll-lock to 2-2-2 in Overwatch League, there has only been one team that has led the way from day one in Stage 2. In Stage 4. I said Stage 2 because there's way too many twos here. And that would be our very own, because we're not biased one bit, Washington Justice at 5-0 with a plus 10 map differential. And the DPS duo of Corey and Stratus are just absolutely dominating the entire Overwatch League. I will put my fanboy hat away in a little bit here. They are just absolutely crushing it. Kudos to Houston. Houston made it a little interesting, but you lost in 5 maps to the Washington Justice. This is just a little taste of what's to come next season. And after that, I'll take my fanboy hat off. And it's been very exciting in Stage 4 with the roll-lock, Joey. It's great for some of these teams that struggled in the GOATS meta. And we're starting to see some of these teams really perform well now because of this roll-lock. Because, I don't know, DPS players can play TPS champions. It's weird how that actually works. You're going to tell me someone that you signed on your team for TPS plays a terrible Zarya or tank or support or anything else? Yeah, shocker. Doesn't surprise me one bit. Really excited to see the Justice really turning around after the struggle that they had this season. And again, I'm a huge fan of the role lock. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait for it to come to the game on the live servers. I think it's going to do a lot to rejuvenate that community as well. And it's been exciting.
Right. And you hit so many of the major points, John. When a lot of these rosters were signed, when managers went out there to get these players onto these rosters, they were thinking, hey, I want DPS players. I want tank players. I want support players. No one was really thinking Brig is going to come out and completely change the meta. Who completely, one character, one hero coming in and shifting the whole meta to this crazy 3-3 goats thing. It just, it's not fun to watch. It's not really fun to play from what players are saying, especially at that higher tier level where the pros are playing. The grandmasters and the masters are not really enjoying it. Now as fans, now as spectators, the game is so much more fun to watch. There's so much more exciting play going on because there's actually DPS heroes there. There's a lot more dive comps being played. There's a lot more strategic elements as opposed to let's just have a big wet noodle fight with three supports supporting our tanks. It's just the excitement is so much more there, and I think that's one reason we see a lot of these teams turning it around. I mean, yes, the Justice have been playing so much better. They've looked mechanically better on these champions, but not only that, John, they smile so much more. Yes, the team is winning, but even when they were just 1-0, even when they were losing at the end of Stage 3, they started transitioning to this 2-2 roll lock, 2-2-2 roll lock, and you can tell there's just so much more excitement around the team. There's like, we have a hope. We have fun. We're actually going to enjoy this match. And now that they're winning, they're even smiling even more. And same with a lot of these other teams out there. But I think the atmosphere around this, the spectators are increasing because of this. The fact that players are able to play what they want to play because of this. Yeah, you're not going to have every hero come out in any meta. But the fact that we're seeing more and more variety coming out, more and more not three tank, three support because of this roll lock, I think makes it a lot more exciting for everyone involved. And I think the Justice are going to keep shooting upward. Unfortunately, there is no Stage 4 playoffs for them to shoot for.
So wrong. So wrong.
So looking at the overall playoffs now, that puts the Vancouver Titans and New York Excelsior as the division leaders. Vancouver leading Pacific 24-2 with one of those losses coming to the Justice. And then the New York Excelsior 21-5 taking over that Atlantic division. Sitting down in the other team spots currently, the San Francisco Shock and the Los Angeles Gladiators of the Pacific region, 20-5 and 16-10 respectively. The Hangzhou Spark sitting in fifth at 15-10 for Pacific. And then the Atlantic, represented by the London Spitfire in that sixth place spot at 16-11. And then we have some other teams still in contention, 7-12, the Seoul Dynasty, Shanghai Dragons, Guangzhou Charge, Philadelphia Fusion, Atlanta Raid, and the Chengdu Hunters. So a lot of action still to come. I believe we have, 1 week of play left with some two-player or two head-to-head matchups?
Sorry, I'm too busy yelling at Twitch chat.
Busy yelling at Twitch chat.
No, you're good. For the Justice, they only have two more. There is a week five, which is the homestand weekend.
That's right. There is one.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks are a little scrambled a little bit. But for teams like the Justice that already have those five games played, this upcoming week or the week after is going to be their last week. So it's going to be split up between the last two. But there are still opportunities here for week five to have major playoff implications for the overall playoffs.
So that brings us to this upcoming Stage 4 with Week 4. So again, like John said, 2 weeks left to go. What matchup are you looking forward to in Week 4?
Oh, you're telling me I have to go to the schedule here in Week 4? Hold on a second.
I will jump out with one right up. Obviously, hometown team, Washington Justice. But not only because of that, because they're up against the Atlanta Reign on Friday, August 16th. That is a matchup of two of the best performing teams right now in Stage 4. That, to me, is going to be electrifying.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. So every Justice game in Week 4, can the Justice really go 7-0? I'm blanking on the guy from the Philadelphia Fusion who said it, but he predicted going into Week 4 that the Justice would go 7-0 in Stage 4. So that's kind of cool. Could it happen? They're playing incredibly well. I think really Atlanta is going to be their biggest test. If they can get past Atlanta, I feel like they have a very strong shot to beat Paris as well, to finish out 7-0 and really be that fairy tale ending that a lot of Justice fans are hoping for. So I'm not just saying that as a Justice fan. I feel like that's going to be a very good two very good games. English to watch in week four.
Exciting stuff over there. So again, week four happening this week, starting on Thursday, I believe. So Thursday, August 15th, check that out. But we also have League of Legends happening this week. We have the LCS heading into playoffs, but first the LEC with a week left to play.
The LEC current standings, G2 Esports 14-2 in first place. Joey's Fnatic 12-4 in second place along with Splice. In fourth place, Schalke 04, repping that four very well in fourth place, 9-7. Origin tied with Team Vitality at 7-9 in fifth. Rogue 6-10 in seventh place. Eighth place is SK Gaming at 5-11. Excel Esports, being the anti-Fnatic that they really are, in ninth place along with Misfits Gaming at 4-12, the complete opposite of Fnatic. Not much has really changed in the EU. I almost said EULCS. I almost did it. Almost did it in the LEC. So, Joey, moving into their next week. Is this their final week?
I believe, yes,
it is their final week. So, Joey, there's a lot on the line here for some of these teams. What matchup are you looking forward to in this last week of the LEC?
There's a few out there. Splice Fnatic, I think, is probably going to be the best one this week. Not only because I love me some Fnatic, but because there's so much on the line in this matchup. You're looking at two of the top teams, Splice and Fnatic, currently sitting in that second place spot as a tiebreaker. So depending who wins out in this matchup, it's most likely going to be that team taking the bye week for that second spot. So that would probably be my biggest match of the week. Yeah, I don't think I need to pick a second one.
I don't think you need to.
I mean, if you want to look at another one, it's going to be between like Origin, Team Vitality, and Rogue. I don't think they play each other. Origin does play Rogue. That would be my other pick. These are two teams that are looking at just scraping in for that fifth or sixth spot. They both really need to win out the rest of the season to kind of ensure their spot. So whoever wins that matchup between those two teams is most likely, pending anything crazy happening on day two, they're most likely going to move forward as that fifth or sixth seed. With that, John, let's take a little jump over to the LCS. Looking at the LCS standings, we have moved into playoffs. We have CLG beating Optic Gaming in round 1 3-0 with a nice clean sweep, and then Clutch Gaming beating TSM 3-1 to move on. That's going to shape us up with C9 up against CLG in the semifinals and Team Liquid up against Clutch Gaming in their semifinal matchup. The big thing I want to hit from the quarterfinals, John, if you're a team, let's just say you're an LCS team, for example, and you're built around a crazy good mid laner from Europe at one point in his career. But now you're out there, you play with two junglers throughout the season, and then you say, hey, we're going to go into playoffs, we're going to shake things up. Let's put in our third jungler right before playoffs. When we've kind of been declining at the end of the season, we want to lose all of our jungle mid synergy and just try something new. Why not? Right?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a recipe for success. I mean, let's not just pick on the terrible roster moves in the playoffs. Let's talk about, I don't know, releasing one of the best top laners in the LCS to have him go to some team called Golden Guardians. And then you start with this rookie that's really kind of unproven. You know, you're taking a lot of chances. You're making a lot of roster moves that have a lot of fans of your organization scratching their head. Now, this is an organization that has a lot of fans that are very prideful. They love this organization. They chant it, even if their team's not playing, because that's not annoying in the LCS studio at all. It could be Golden Guardians versus Clutch, for all you know, and this three-letter team org just magically pops up out of nowhere. Yeah, it's very questionable, and I know a lot of fans of this organization are kind of irritated about this, and rightfully so. I think it was a terrible idea to throw in your third different jungler going into the playoffs. I mean, what are you trying to do, catch the other team off guard? You caught yourself off guard. I mean, TSM, look, I don't like you. I'm not a fan of you. But here's my issue. You cannot honestly expect your fans, some of the best fans, I'll go ahead and say it, some of the best fans out there, some of the most passionate fans in esports, you cannot keep doing roster moves like this going right into playoffs. It makes no sense. None whatsoever. I don't care how great they're doing in scrims and practice. It doesn't translate to on-stage performance. You have to go with what got you there. I mean, that's like benching Bjergsen for some academy player in mid lane and expecting to have the exact same results. It doesn't work that way. There's growing pains. Cloud9 didn't replace every single person on the roster overnight. They did it over time. They built that chemistry up. They started with the academy team and slowly started moving people up. And really, the jungle spot is still kind of up in the air between Blaber and Sven Skarren. There's still a lot of question marks there. But that's the way you kind of do it. You don't do it this way, TSM, because you screw yourself over. And it's bad, and your fans have every right to be upset. And yes, you should be apologizing to them on social media like you already are doing, because it was a disaster. There is no way you should have lost this series to Clutch, and you did. But kudos to Clutch. Not trying to take anything away from them. They played out of their minds. They played incredibly well. Going up against TSM, you still have to face Bjergsen, a very strong mid laner. TSM's bot lane is still very strong. There's a lot that they had to overcome to beat TSM. But TSM did Clutch a favor by shooting themselves in the foot.
Right, and no one can say Clutch would not win. I mean, obviously, TSM was on the decline toward the end of the season. They were not looking the greatest. The jungle position, not really the jungle position in and of itself, but the synergy between that position and really the top lane and mid lane was more the issue. With that being said, you don't throw in a guy that's never really been in a pro match. To my knowledge, Spica has never played for another pro team out there. He has academy experience. Oh, yeah, because we've seen how well that translates at times. Like, come on, TSM. You've been through, what, 8 junglers in the last 4 or 5 seasons? This is starting to get obnoxious at this point. They need to get their stuff together. They need to start training up a jungle, really a team chemistry. I feel like there's so much negativity on that team. They just need to find a way to mesh together. Switching the jungle out right before playoffs, what does that say to your former junglers? Like, hey, good try this season. Screw you guys. What does it say to the rookie? It puts him into the limelight to screw himself over. I mean, the guy played terribly. He played absolutely awful. Do I blame him? No, not at all. I blame TSM's management. There's no reason they should put a rookie into that high level of a situation that quickly. I mean, give the guy some games on stage at least first. I don't care how he's doing in scrims, like John said. Give the man some stage time. You're not going to put anyone in playoffs that has not had stage time unless it's freaking Faker. And even Faker would not have that happen because the man's brilliant. I mean, he is as brilliant as mid laners come. Like, come on, people. This is, as someone who likes to look at the really the analyzation, or I don't know what the word is, like analyzing teams, thinking through scouting moves. This is about as dumb as you can get. It's really team solo mid, team solo brain with this move.
First off, freaking Faker. Faker, please, for the love of everything in the world, please change your name to freaking Faker. And team, what did you say, team solo brain?
Yeah, that is outstanding. Who makes this move?
Joey, your puns have not been disgusting like normal. Like, they have really been good this episode. I feel like we've reached that moment where you have transcend your cringy puns. And I'm
okay, Zenyatta.
Quite proud of you. Until you made that one. That one was a little closer to that line, but we're still there. We're still there, Joey, and I'm proud.
We are coming to the end of the episode, though, because our editor is going to kill us now that we're approaching 1:15 here. But overall, we do have 2 semifinal matchups, Sean, and rapid fire here. C9, CLG, who's going to win and what's the series look like?
Oh, this is going to be tough. Obviously, I want to pick Cloud9. I think Cloud9 can do it. CLG has been playing out of their mind. The 3-0 sweep over Optic was very impressive. CLG has been one of the hottest teams in the league coming up here. I see this going the distance. I do think this will be a 5-game series. I'm going to give the edge to Cloud9. Call me a homer. That's fine. I don't care. I'm going to give it to Cloud9, but CLG could definitely take this easily.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5 games as well, and I am going to go C9. I'm feeling a bit hesitant about it. A bit more heart than brain thinking on this one. I think when we look at the players, the way CLG's players are performing, they're outperforming C9, at least in these last couple weeks. With that being said, C9 has a magic weapon here. They have Reaper. When you look at him and his coaching strategies, the ability he really brings to the game, especially when it comes to 5-game series, we've seen C9 do it so many times before. They've gone down 0-2 in series multiple times and come back for reverse sweeps. I don't think you can ever count them out, especially with the coaching team over there. So I'm going to go C9. I think it'll be close. I think it will be 5 games. I could see it going either way, but C9 for me as well. Team Liquid and Clutch Gaming, on the other hand, I think goes heavily in favor of Team Liquid. I could see this one being a 3-1, but I am going to go 3-0 in favor of TL. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick 3-1. I could see them trying something and giving up a game, but I do think they're going to get a clean sweep here.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 Team Liquid as well. Team Liquid usually has one game where you're scratching your head going like, you lost that as soon as you logged into your account. Like, what were you even thinking? They're notorious for doing that. So I will give Clutch one, but I don't see anything more than that. Now watch this go the distance, and Team Liquid barely pull it out. but I do think 3-1 in favor of Team Liquid as well. Well, Nation, that does it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. Joey, I believe we're on Stitcher now as well. Can I get a thumbs up if we are?
We are on Stitcher, and we are working on getting on Spotify. It is submitted for approval. We're just waiting on that approval.
So to everyone listening on Twitch, welcome to the Level Up Podcast. This is the outro, so we'll catch you next time as well. But we would love to hear from all of our listeners. So, Joey, we have other ways for our listeners to interact with us. Where can they go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. We do the Level Up Podcast on Monday nights at around 7 p.m., 7:15-ish some nights. Ghost Runner also streams on Tuesdays around 8 p.m. So check out those streams and more happening throughout the week.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.